जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivraja Vicharya Stotra Stoshi Shimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Jai Granthraja Srimad Bhagata Mahapurana Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai. Shri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much, everybody, for being in class today and those listening online. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, and text number 28, chapter number 28, text 16. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swam Rupaha Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shivarshabhanavi Devi Deitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Shimurte Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Please repeat after me. Dehendriya prana manobhi mano. Dehendriya prana manobhi mano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Shut Brahmaha nityuru deva gita. Shut Sutrang maha nityo deva gita. Sangsara adhavati kala tantra. Sangsara adhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivantaratma gunakarma murtihi. Sutrang maha nityuru deva gita. Sangsara adhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Sutram maha niti urdeva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Sutram maha nityuru deva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murti. Sutrama nityuru deva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Madhajis. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jiva antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Sutram maha nityuru deva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murti. Sutram maha nityuru deva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Dehendriya prana manobhimano. Jivo antaratma gunakarma murtihi. Sutram maha nityuru deva gita. Sangsara dhavati kala tantra. Deha, with the material body, indriya, senses, prana, life air, manaha, and mind, abhimanaha, who is falsely identifying. Jivaha, the living entity. Antaha, situated within. Atma, the soul. Guna, according to his material qualities. Karma, and work. Murtihi, assuming his form. Sutram, the sutra tattva. Mahan, the original form of material nature. Iti, thus. Urudha, in many different ways. Eva, indeed. Gita, described. Sangsari, in material life. Adhavati, he runs about. Kala, of time. Tantraha, under the strict control. Translation, please repeat after me. The living entity who falsely identifies with his body, senses, life, air, and mind, and who dwells within these coverings, assumes the form of his own materially conditioned qualities and work. He is designated variously in relation to the total material energy, and thus under the strict control of supreme time, he is forced to run here and there within material existence. So translation again. The living entity who falsely identifies with his body, senses, life, air, and mind, and who dwells within these coverings, assumes the form of his own materially conditioned qualities and work. He is designated variously in relation to the total material energy, and thus, under the strict control of supreme time, he is forced to run here and there within material existence. Supported by the disciples of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. False ego, which causes the living entity to suffer material existence, is here described in detail as the illusory identification with the material body, senses, life, air, and mind. Hare Krishna. The word Kala refers directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who imposes the limiting segments of time upon the conditioned souls, keeping them tightly bound under the laws of nature. Liberation is not an impersonal experience. Liberation is attainment of one's eternal body, senses, mind, and intelligence in the association of the Personality of Godhead. Again, liberation is the attainment of one's eternal body, senses, mind, and intelligence in the association of the Personality of Godhead. We can revive our eternal liberated personality free from the contamination of false ego by dedicating ourselves to the loving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. When the pure spirit soul accepts the false ego, he must undergo material suffering. One automatically conquers the false ego by accepting oneself in pure Krishna consciousness. So again it says, one automatically conquers the false ego by accepting oneself in pure Krishna consciousness to be the eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Jai Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Mitam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Nityana. Hare Krishna. So here, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, there are many wonderful instructions given so that we can understand life in a way that we will once again have a complete life of knowledge and happiness. Because this is the construction of the soul. The soul is made of three intrinsic elements. The first is that the soul is eternal, which means it's also complete. Anything eternal will be complete. Just as in that very famous Vedic verse where it says, Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. The statement that is made is that we are emanating from Lord Krishna, who is the complete whole. He is not just the complete whole, but he is also perfectly complete. Perfectly complete. So it is described that those who emanate from him are also complete wholes and are meant to be perfectly complete. And until we become perfectly complete, we will feel a sense of something is lacking. There's some hole in our life that needs to be filled, a type of a void that needs to be filled like that. That feeling will be there, and therefore dissatisfaction. Now, there are two types of dissatisfaction. There is material dissatisfaction and spiritual dissatisfaction. Material dissatisfaction is a limiting factor. It limits us. It makes us do less than we can actually do in our lives. Spiritual, on the other hand, is actually such that it makes us do more. For example, the gopis also feel very dissatisfied in their relationship with Krishna because they feel like we're not doing enough for Krishna. We don't love him enough. We should love him more. So they make a greater effort to love him and a greater effort to love him and a greater effort to love him. Of course, under these both are natures that are also similar. Material dissatisfaction is underpinned by material nature. Material nature has the feature of being incomplete and miserable. Asashvatam and dukhale. Dukhalem, asashvatam. This is the underpinning of material nature. This is the characterization of material nature. That Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarvakaranakaranam, the cause of all causes, he explains that these are the two words that characterize the material energy. Dukhalaya, asashnam. That it will cause misery and it will be impermanent. It will be unstable like that. Spiritual, on the other hand, is anandamaya abhyasat. It actually creates more and more happiness all the time. More and more power. More and more energy. So in spiritual life, one gets more and more and more empowered. And we can see that just as you take the example of normal people, you see that there's a type of a bell curve that happens, you know, that when they grow, then they start, when they take birth and they start growing, they start doing better and better. The energy increases, increases, increases. At a certain point, it plateaus. Then it starts dwindling as a slide. And you especially feel that after the age of variously for some people 50, for some people 60, for some people 70. But definitely by 80 you'll feel it. You'll really feel it. You can feel the slide, you know, coming down. On the other hand, if you take a person who is spiritualized, like take the example of Srila Prabhupada, right? You can see at the end of his life, he left his body when he was about 82, is described. His performance was only going higher and higher and higher. It was like there was no bell curve. It was just gradually rising, rising, rising until it went off the charts. It was like off the charts. Who, when they're leaving their body, can very lucidly explain and give purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam with such clarity and such depth that even today we have not understood those purports. After so many intelligences, so many brains have come together in the form of the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. And we're analyzing the statements that Prabhupada is making in the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the final statements that he made. The final lectures that he gave, the final statements he made, we're still trying to fathom what exactly he was saying. Now, there is some clarity, but the level of clarity is not complete. That is how intense Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness became as he progressed in his life. So we can see one is underpinned by the material energy, and therefore there is going to be instability and ultimately misery, because when people become older, they become miserable, right? You don't see many smiling faces amongst old people. When you look at old people, they tend to be a little, grouchy. They look that they're really stressed out. You know, very deep furrows happen on their forehead, right? We realize that they're going through a very stressful life. It's not easy, right? And therefore, people don't look forward to old age like that. On the other hand, spiritual people become more and more ecstatic. Now, herein, in this verse, there's a very, very important point that is being made. The living entity is actually transcendental, meaning that the living entity is actually spiritual and eternally complete, and not only eternally complete, but perfect and complete like this. This living entity, when this living entity comes in touch with the material energy, that is when false ego is generated. The false ego is generated because the material energy has the nature of creating things that are unstable and miserable, which is the opposite of the nature of a living entity, right? The nature of the living entity is Sat Chit Ananda, means the living entity is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. Material energy, on the other hand, is unstable and miserable. Now you put these two together, it's like putting poison in milk, right? Poison and milk have two different effects. Milk has the effect of giving one life. Therefore we see the first thing that the baby drinks is milk, right? That's the first food that the baby gets. In fact, I was just speaking to someone the other day, and he was telling me, because he likes to study the history of the world, you know. So at one time in northern Africa, there is a wonderful country, I forget the name now. What are some of the names of the countries in northern Africa? Ethiopia, Morocco, right? Morocco is one of them. So in Morocco, he said, if you go back about maybe 1,000 years, according to the Moroccans, everybody was not only vegetarian in Morocco, but the only food they would have was milk, because they had many, many cows. And they'd be grazing a lot of cows and calves. So they'd have an abundant supply of milk. When the first time somebody offered them bread to eat, they spit it out and say, "How can you eat this thing? It's yucky." That's what they said when they were given bread for the first time. They said, "We just prefer milk." And they would just drink milk. That's all they would do, drink milk. That was their complete food. And they were big people. They were very powerful. They had very great intelligence. Right? It's amazing. Now, what do we add into the milk? We add so many chemicals into the milk, right? And we think we're enhancing the milk. We're actually bringing it down. The cows are fed things that are unmentionable. I mean, you know, these are not things that are supposed to be fed to the cows like that. So it's a type of poison that's being added in. What that creates is a situation where human beings, after drinking milk, do amazingly dastardly things, right? You can see that they're engaged in so many different types of activities that are not helpful to them at all. So this living entity that's a pure living entity, Radhanath Maharaj describes it very nicely. He says the pure entity, living entity, is like a drop of water that falls from the clouds. You know, from the clouds come clean water. You know, drops of water come from the clouds. And then they come and hit the earth and they get muddied, right? and becomes like muddied water. Now you can't drink that water. You could have drunk the water just like the chakora bird, right? The chakora bird will only drink water when it's raining. It'll drink that water that's coming off the cloud because it knows this is the best water. By the way, I was reading the other day and I amazingly found out that the demigods consider water to be nectar. They consider things like pomegranate juice, all these wonderful juices in this world that we consider very expensive, right? Like pomegranate juice is one of the more expensive juices. What are the other ones? Like in India, called bael juice. Bael juice is a little expensive, right? What other juices are there? Like some of these juices are expensive, you know, they're expensive juices. In this world, we consider them to be like higher class juices, you know, to be drunk by people who are higher class people, meaning that they have better incomes. But the demigods consider that to be junk food. They consider those drinks to be junk. They consider pure water to be nectar. In this world, we think pure water is not very valuable, right? Pure water is the cheapest product you find on the shelves in the supermarkets. It's the cheapest price. Of course, some water is a little more expensive because they come from the springs. And these guys are businessmen. They're very smart. They know how to brand themselves so they can make the maximum money out of that water, right? I mean, the water has been given by God free of charge, right? They built those waters out of those springs. It didn't cost them any water to create money to create the water in the spring. So they pull that water out and they bottle it and they give it to us and say, this is clear spring water, so you need to pay us more money for this, you know. And what do they bottle it in, generally speaking? In plastic bottles, right? So what are they doing? They're actually reducing the strength of that water because plastic has the effect of harming a person. So funny, they take the best product, mix it with another product that's not very good, and they make us drink it. In fact, recently I found out that if you have bottled water in your car and the sun touches it, you're drinking something that's very harmful to your health. You will get cancer in your life. I mean, it's an amazing statement that was made. This is scientifically being shown. So this living entity, which is very pure, comes in touch with the material energy and completely contaminates. And when it contaminates, there is an ego that is born called the false ego. And what is the characterization of the false ego? The characterization of the false ego is that the false ego thinks, I am the Lord now. Prior to that, the pure living entity was thinking, I am servant of the Lord. Now, obviously, in this world, the word servant is not a very good word. I mean, if you're a servant, you're like nobody, right? You're just like somebody's going to manipulate you now, exploit you, etc. Because that's what happens to servants generally in this world. But in the spiritual world, servant is not like that. The word servant derives from the word service, which Prabhupada explains as expression of love, which means the servant is actually the beloved. In the spiritual world, the servant is considered the beloved. Now, in this world, the beloved is not considered a third class or fourth class person. The beloved is considered a great person, right? For Romeo, Juliet was his beloved. What did Romeo think of Juliet? He thought of her in the highest terms, right? He was ready to give his life for her. You know, the example I often quote when I'm speaking is the example of Mother Malati. You know, once Prabhupada had one of his godbrothers over for prasadam in Vrindavan. And, you know, the general understanding is those who are sannyasis, they do not associate with women, right? This is general understanding. And so Mother Malati was cooking and serving Srila Prabhupada and his godbrother. So his godbrother was a little nonplussed, you know. So he turned to Prabhupada and he gave him that look, you know, like, what's happening? Why is this woman serving us? You don't have a brahmachari, you can serve us, you know, type situation, you know. So Prabhupada understood. Prabhupada didn't say anything for a while. He didn't say anything. He waited. Malati came through a number of times. Mother Malati came through a number of times and served him. Then one time when she came over and she was had a little pause, he turned to his godbrother and he said, you know, this lady would slit her throat for me, and I would gladly slit my throat for her. You know, what is that statement? If you think about the depth of that statement, This is real love, right? When you can die for somebody, when you gladly die for somebody, what to speak of take trouble for somebody, suffer for somebody, accept pain voluntarily for somebody. That's nothing compared to death, right? Like there's a saying in English, if it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you, only going to make you stronger, right? If it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. If it kills you, you don't have to worry about it, right? And if it doesn't kill you, it's only going to make you stronger. So please don't be afraid of pain. Please don't be afraid of taking misery for the service of the Supreme Lord. Do it gladly with all of your heart and soul. This is why a lot of us do service. The type of services we do are not always very blissful, right? Sometimes even the devotees become, a little rude towards us or insulting towards us, become difficult towards us. And sometimes we find devotees leave the movement because they find that they're not being treated well by other devotees, right? We see that happen many times. I hear many stories of the congregation coming and telling me, we came to your temple, this happened, and we decided we're not coming back to your temple again. How many times I've heard it? I mean, I'd be a millionaire for every penny I'd give for every time I heard that story, But the devotees stay in those circumstances. The devotees are staying, right? They used to stay all through the thick and thin of all of it. The devotees hang in there. There's a lot of misery in the system. But the devotees don't feel the misery so much. They do feel it a little bit because they're sensitive people. They realize it internally. But externally, they realize that we're here to serve the Lord and His devotees. This is our love. So we're ready to take this difficulty. We're accepting it and we'll continue our service like this. So we can see that in the spiritual world, service means love. In this world, service means subordination, right? You become somebody who is lesser. There you become somebody who is equal, and not an equal, more. There are devotees in the spiritual world who Krishna considers to be sort of like superior to him, right? Take Mother Yashoda is a good example. Mother Yashoda, whenever she turns up, even if the gopis are there with Krishna, and obviously Krishna is never happier than when he's with his own gopis, particularly Radharani. Krishna is at the pinnacle of his happiness when he's with Radharani. And tomorrow is Radhastami. We're very fortunate. It's also the day when Sri Radha Kalachanji were installed. So it's a very important day for us tomorrow. So, but even with Radharani, when Mother Yashoda turns up, his total attention turns to Mother Yashoda. He will do whatever she says. She is the real queen then. This is how much Krishna loves Mother Yashoda, that he considers her to be superior to him. Not just, slightly superior, but way superior to him. She can lift a stick like we can see in that painting there, and she's holding the rope and Krishna's like, he's afraid. I mean, Krishna to be afraid? This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the guy who fear runs away from, He runs away, fear runs away from him, and now he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. What does that tell us? So this is the nature there. Now the nature here is we're trying to be the Lord. The nature there is we're trying to be a beloved. So when we try to become the Lord, then the statements here are made very clearly. What happens is the material energy works with us in such a way that it makes us run about here and there and, do so many things that we're really not interested in doing. Like how many children really want to go to school? You figure that out the first day you take them to school, you'll figure out how much they love going to school. Like you got to drag them to school. They don't want to go to school. And the arrangements that these schools make, the Montessori's, the pre-kindergarten schools, right? Which is the first time the child goes pretty much to pre-kindergarten, right? The parents actually stay back for a while because the child will not be separated like that. The child's not going to let the parents just walk away like that. They start crying. They run to the window and they see the father walking away, the mother walking away, and they're bawling their hearts out. They're not happy to go to school. I mean, how many people loved exams? How many of us, we look forward to the day when there's going to be examination time. There's going to be a test. And we're going to be tested whether we understood anything or not in our subject. How many of us really enjoyed that? I remember my hands would sweat. Every time there was a test, my hands would start sweating, you know. I finally realized I was getting, and the reason I wasn't doing well in my studies was because I was worrying too much, you know. I was sweating and like so much in anxiety that I can't even remember the answers to the questions. So, you know, somebody told me, why don't you just have a little bit of yogurt, put some little bit of sugar in the yogurt, and eat some yogurt before you go. It'll calm you down. And then please make sure that you do go to the bathroom, because halfway through the exam, you feel like going to the bathroom, right? Because it's really tough, you know. And so makes you want to go to the bathroom. So why don't you do that before you go, and you know, to the examination room, right? Especially in university, I mean, and when I was studying law, the system was for every 100 students that would come in, only one would be passed. Because there were too many lawyers in New Zealand, so they wanted to cut down how many lawyers there were in New Zealand. So by the time I got into law school, they decided to create the exams in such a way that, you know, there's no way. It's very hard to get through that exam, you know. So we used to develop these types of strategies, you know. Go to the bathroom first, drink nice yogurt, you know, with some sugar in it. Calm down. Take a deep breath, now walk into the exam room. You know what I mean? Knowing full well, those questions are going to be really tough. You know? And you read all the exam papers for the last 20 years before that, so that you've studied all those exam papers, studied the answers to them, and then you walk in and you find that none of those questions turned up. Right? Because the teachers are so smart, they know. These guys have studied those questions. Give them another question or put it in different words. They won't even recognize that this is the same question in a different language, you know. So this type of pain is there when you're studying. Now, how many people like to go to work? How many people love going to work? Very few, right? Only those who are really highly paid or have a really good employer who really takes care of them nicely, you know. You know, like say some of these places where the employees become millionaires and billionaires, you know, like Microsoft, Facebook, employees become millionaires and billionaires. Businessmen sometimes don't become millionaires and billionaires, right? But in these companies, some of the employees become like that because that's the type of culture they have, because they get a lot out of those employees too, by the way. They suck a lot of out of those employees. But really people don't really love going to work. But do you ever hear the gopas really didn't look forward to seeing Krishna, or the gopis really didn't quite enjoy being with Krishna? You never hear that. Just this morning I was reading a statement that said that the gopis, they're so amazed by the mercy of Krishna that they want to worship him. Now, if you want to worship some person, it means that person must have done a lot for you. I mean, to become worshipable like our spiritual masters, right? When you met our spiritual masters, I always say that that's the day when you start feeling real love and real happiness, right? You really became happy. I met my spiritual master. And sometimes there are other spiritual masters who may not be our initiating spiritual master, but again, they impact our lives in such a way that they show so much love to us that we're totally indebted to them. We're like, we want to worship them. We do their Guru Puja. We do Guru Puja Prabhupada. Why do we do Guru Puja Prabhupada? Why do we worship Prabhupada? Because his mercy is unprecedented. What he gave us is unprecedented. Right? So in that situation, this is what love is like. This is the type of feeling that there is in love. So really, if we want to get out of, you know, anxiety and things like that that are caused by the material energy, we have to give up our lording mentality and accept this loving mentality. And the loving mentality says that I am a beloved of Krishna. I love Krishna unlimitedly. He is completely the greatest person in creation. All of his people are also similarly lovable by me. And I will do anything and everything it takes to please them, to please Krishna and to please Krishna's living energy. That's a sign on the phone that this is a correct statement. You know, this is Krishna saying yes. This is what it is all about. It is all about our love for Krishna and love for Krishna's people. And for that, we're ready to take any amount of misery. Any amount of misery. We don't say like Queen Kunti, bring it on. I mean, you know, she was a very powerful personality. She can say to Krishna, please give me more misery. I don't think we should do that because we can't even handle the little bit that we are getting, right? We get so affected by it. But the point is that we should understand that if we do take misery for Krishna's service, if we take some trouble, which means like waking up early, chanting the rounds, following the regulated principles. And again, something I read this morning, Prabhupada made this statement. He said, actually, some people love to chant Hare Krishna in solitude, you know, like solitary place. They like chanting in a solitary place. He said, if you're not a person who likes to preach every day, continuously talking to, in his exact words, non-devotees, you know, continuously talking to non-devotees and preaching every day, then you will find that chanting in a solitary place is probably not going to work for you. Because what is going to happen is that you'll be thinking about things, you know, which are generally illicit things, like, you know, women or men, or, you know, whatever, like that, money, making money, you know, being peaceful, things like that in a world where there's no peace, trying to be peaceful in that world, things like that. These are the things that you're going to go through your mind, and your chanting is going to be not sincere. It's not going to be sincere chanting. It's not going to be attentive chanting. On the other hand, if you take trouble meeting non-devotees, because non-devotees will give you a little bit of trouble, right? First of all, they won't agree with your philosophy. How many times we meet people who totally don't agree with our philosophy? They feel like, you know, this is not correct philosophy. This is what it should be. All paths lead to the same ultimate point. So whatever way you do it, it's fine. Serving the people is serving God. Not serving God, serving the people. Serving the people is serving God. You hear all these stories, you know? So when we're dealing with this, obviously there are going to be some issues, especially those who go out doing book distribution. They realize that very quickly, you know. Trying to get a book out to somebody, it's not easy, right? But when you try to do those things because you want to give the mercy of the Lord to the others so that they can come to know that the Lord really loves you so much. If you love the Lord, that's the best way to become happy. And if you love the Lord's devotees, you know. And you meet all sorts of people. You meet people who say, I know Krishna. I never met a guru. I never met a devotee, but I already know Krishna. How many times have we heard that from people, right? And you can't say much to them, because if you do, then they think you're being offensive to Krishna and you're being offensive to me. I have my path. What's wrong with that? You have your path. I have my path. Yeah, it's true. But where are those paths going to? Where is it ultimately leading to? Of course, sometimes the path does merge in the sense that those on that path will also come onto the correct path. It's not like you can invent your own path. Right? Krishna says, Mayaktekshena prakriti suyatesa characharam. And then he also says in the Bhagavad Gita that that all of these different chaturvarna maya shishtam guna karma vibhagashaha, right? So he actually lays down that there are systems in place that have been created by him. And those systems actually will create the best results, the fastest results. The other ones will have some results, but sooner or later they'll have to get onto the main path. Like that. It's just like, you know, sometimes you want to go to a very far, far away place like New York, and you decide that you're going to visit all the side streets along the way to New York. You may never make it to New York in this lifetime. Because there are lots of side streets on the way, right? And some of those side streets lead to other side streets, which leads to other side streets. And by the time you come back onto the main highway again, you've got to lost a lot of time. So Prabhupada is giving us this point that actually please try to preach. Please always try to reach out, particularly to non-devotees. Please reach out to them and serve them in a way that they will come to know Krishna, and that way they will become happy. And that way we will give up our lording nature as well. We realize we are beloveds. We can actually become happy by always serving the Lord in Krishna consciousness in the multitude of variety of ways. That's another thing about Krishna consciousness. There are many ways that one can actually serve inside Krishna consciousness. So try to figure out one's own nature and serve according to that nature. Then we'll be really happy. Hare Krishna. I'm going to stop here and ask if you'd like to say something or ask any questions. There's a microphone right there. Yes, Devadatta Prabhu.
You told the story of Malati. It reminds me of another story I heard about Ramananda. Prabhupada was preaching to someone, And he was explaining how the devotees are surrendered to him.
Right.
They'll do anything. Yeah. And he said, if I say anything, this man will kill you.
Wow.
And Brahmananda, a very big man. So Brahmananda said, I got ready. Because Prabhupada said that.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Prabhupada is using an example.
Yeah, Brahmananda was ready.
I got ready.
Yeah, you just tell me. This is surrender, you know. This is real surrender as a devotee. Amazing. I remember one time when devotees first went to Mumbai, and the building had been set up, the temple, Ras Bihari temple, Radha Ras Bihari. And so there was a Indian businessman, and he donated a whole bunch of, bedding for the devotees. But he didn't want them to sleep on the ground, so he gave them the beds, the linen, the pillows, the, the blankets, like that, right? And lo and behold, 1 month later, he comes back, and more than half of them are missing, including the mattress, the pillows. So he went to Prabhupada and he complained to Prabhupada. He says, your devotees don't have very good culture. You know what I mean? I gave them this so that they can use, and they walk away with them, and they just, think it's their own. And where they go to somewhere else, they take it with them, and now these rooms are left without these beddings, Prabhupada said, he said, these devotees listen to me. He said, they listen to what I have to say. And because they listen to what I say, they're perfect. There's nothing wrong with their culture. They're perfect because they listen to me. Because ultimately, these devotees, whatever they were doing was for only one purpose, right? At that time, it was very clear. The purpose was, please Prabhupada. Somehow or the other, please Prabhupada, right? Anything that you do, it's for the pleasure of Prabhupada. Yes, it's for the pleasure of Krishna, but we haven't met Krishna yet personally face to face. So until then, Prabhupada is the representation of the spiritual master who represents the spiritual, Supreme Lord. So this is the type of attitude they had. And as a result of that, these devotees who had nothing, absolutely nothing. I mean, our devotees came from backgrounds. I mean, they couldn't even pay the rent of the properties that they occupied. What to speak of food. I remember at the Dallas temple, it was grits every morning for breakfast. Always grits. And yet, they turned this movement into what it is today. Look at the movement now. I mean, there's so much wealth in the movement. I recently went to Mumbai about 3 weeks ago. And some of the wealthiest businessmen have now become devotees of Hare Krishna in Mumbai. These guys are so wealthy. It's amazing how wealthy they are. Multi-billionaires. And they're becoming devotees now. Right? Because people, sooner or later, that resistance is going to break down, right? Just like between a lover and a beloved. When a lover pursues the beloved, sooner or later, the beloved's resistance wears away, right? She can resist him, and then suddenly the resistance starts waning. And then she embraces him. And this is Krishna pursuing his living entities. Krishna consciousness is about Krishna pursuing his people. He's trying to love them and embrace them, and everybody's running away saying, no. I want to enjoy material life. Give me wealth. Give me fame. Give me beauty. So all these nice opulences, they're like running after those opulences, right? And those opulences are really running after Krishna. So it's like it's a circle, right? So sooner or later we realize it's actually Krishna who is the origin of all these opulences. Then we embrace Krishna. And then we realize it's not even the opulences that we're interested in. We're really interested in Krishna. Because the Krishna is everything for us. Wonderful. Other points, statements? Anybody like me? No? Good. Thank you very much. All glories to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa turvischa. Kripasandhu vyayivacha. Patitanam pavinebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Anantakodi Vaishnava brindaki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraja Srimad Bhakta Mahapurana ki jai. Sri Radhastami Mahatsava ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.